Mentoring Deep at Gateway Church with Dr. Rob Brewer, a podcast devoted to helping people strengthen artistry in their leadership, their lives, and with the Lord. No matter your current place in life, the expertise of wise mentors can launch you into new heights of personal growth and ingenuity. And now, here's your host, Dr. Rob Brewer.
Well, hello. Welcome to episode 007 of Mentoring Deep at Gateway Church. It is so good to have you with us. I hope your 2016 is continuing into a great place. I know mine is. We're having a great year at Gateway Church. We've got lots of activities planned for the upcoming year and had a great weekend at the XO Marriage Conference. If you were able to be with us, I am so glad that you could be a part of that as well. So again, welcome to episode 007. What a pleasure it is to have you with us. I have a special guest with me today, another one of our pastors here at Gateway Church. Joining me from just a couple of doors down from me is one of my coworkers who has been on staff for a couple of years. Joining me today is Pastor Rick Motterer. Hi, Rick.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm overwhelmed.
You are overwhelmed. Look at this. Everybody, you know, we give everyone the applause treatment when they come in to see us.
I'm not sure how we got all the people in this room.
Well, yeah, again, we're in my office, and so it makes it a little bit tight to have this many people in here. And they're so grateful to come in, or we're so grateful for them that they could come in and talk to us.
Yeah, parking's a real bear outside right now.
It always is, even when we don't have that large crowd. Well, hey, so welcome. It's good to have you here.
Yeah.
You work with me on the team here in the equipping department.
Yes.
And I'm really glad you were able to come be a part of Mentoring Deep today.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So let's start talking to you about, again, for those that are joining us for perhaps the first time of listening to Mentoring Deep, we like to explore with our pastors three particular areas. We like to explore how they lead in their area, how they live their lives away from Gateway Church, and how they love the Lord. So those are the three areas we want to talk with you about today: how you lead in your area, how you live your life, and how you love the Lord. So we usually begin with how you lead in your area, and the best way to kind of head us in that direction is for you to introduce yourself to us and tell us what you do at Gateway Church. So who are you here at Gateway Church?
Well, I'm all things staff development, and I guess that's a carryover from my former life as a public school administrator. And I did a lot of staff development, a lot of professional development at the school, district, state, and even national level. And so that's my heart's passion. And so when I was asked to come on staff, I just felt like it was a natural progression in my pathway. I love to work with people. I'm just ecstatic to develop people to become better and more of who they were designed and created to be.
That's awesome. So, you know, I came out of education as well. And of course, you and I have talked about that many times. So I definitely want to explore that here in just a few moments about that transition for you. So you've done staff development in other areas. What has been the big difference in doing it in an educational slash secular environment versus here in a large church setting at Gateway?
The mindset is hugely different. In a secular setting, people can take it or leave it depending on their current emotional state. Sometimes they get angry if you say the wrong particular word or something like that.
Sure.
And here on the church staff, people are like sponges. They love to grow. And I can say exactly what I want to say because it's all about the Lord.
Yeah.
And people don't get offended at that.
Why do you suppose that is? Why are they more like sponges here, but in a secular environment, you've experienced something different?
You know, Proverbs says a wise man listens to advice. And when you're in a classroom setting, you're a teacher. And so in a way you're offering advice, you're offering wisdom. And it's not a control thing. It's just, you know, you're overflowing from what God's done in your own life, and wise people listen to that. And in the secular world, that's not always the case.
Yeah, I think we've both found that to be particularly true. And I think you're right. Here at Gateway, people are very engaged in the kinds of staff development that are offered to them. So when you say staff development, what does that look like? Like, do you sit down with every single individual on staff and develop them? What does that look like for you?
Once a month I do that. Yes, no. In a large group setting. It takes on various forms. One of the things that we want to do is make sure our culture is maintained. We have such a healthy culture and a vibrant and growing culture. So part of staff development is making sure that we all develop in such a way that the heart and soul of Gateway is carried on. People have coming from various different places in life, and some need ministry, some are able to minister to others. And so when people come to me on a one-on-one basis because of something maybe that came up in a class, or maybe they were referred to me by a friend, we'll sit and we'll talk and I'll just listen.
Yeah.
And see what comes out.
Do you think there's a really big difference in developing a large group of people versus developing an individual? Is the approach different?
It's a little bit different, I think. A large group, you have to start doing averages.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
You can't really, like, if I'm dealing with a person, they have a specific area and a specific need in that area that I can address. But in a large group, not everybody has that same need.
Yeah.
And so one person might drink the whole bottle of water while somebody else won't even have opened theirs.
Yeah.
And so the needs are different in a larger group.
How do you find that average?
Just by maintaining your pulse on the organization, by keeping your ear open on the rail, so to say.
What are some of the things that you like to do to maintain that pulse and keep your ear open?
I listen. I look at survey results. We are big on BCWI survey. And so
okay. What is the BCWI?
Best Christian Workplace Institute.
Okay.
And that was formed quite a few years ago when they were doing an article for Christianity Today, trying to figure out where's the best Christian workplace to work.
Mm-hmm.
So that birthed this organization. And so Gateway has been involved in taking the survey now for this is the third year.
Yeah.
And based on the results we get from that, we get them at two levels. We get them at the church-wide level to see how Gateway does overall, but we also look at individual department level. And so that gives us some insight into certain departments, see where areas of health are, areas of opportunity. And so it gives good information, assuming everybody who took it was honest.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you look at those surveys, what are some key thoughts that you're having as you're looking at that? In other words, how do you know when something has shifted? How do you know when something is important on one of those surveys versus, oh, this is really not important at all?
The first year we took it, it was difficult because we didn't have anything to compare to.
Okay.
Now, having taken it now for 3 years, you could see areas of increase or decrease compared to the previous year. The questions are all the same. And so it then begs the question, why did this go up or why did this go down?
Yeah.
And so that then open some dialogue, some conversations with people, and we're able to find out. One of the thoughts that I have, because I did the same type of thing in the public school setting. We have an engagement survey through Gallup.
Okay.
And the BCWI essentially measures the same kind of thing, our engagement.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that people in the world are much more unhappy.
They're really,
much less engaged in their work.
Yeah.
Than people are, at least here at Gateway, to the tune of about, here at Gateway, people are 5 to 6 times happier, more engaged than people in the regular workaday world.
Do you suppose that is a reflection of Gateway or a reflection of the church? Like if we were to look at that BCWI survey across Christendom, Would we see the same thing happening in other churches?
Probably not.
Okay.
In fact, I know not so. I know some very large churches who would probably give substantial parts of their body to have the scores that we have here at Gateway.
Yeah.
Part of it is culture. Part of it is the health of leadership.
Yeah.
Part of it is responsiveness to the needs and what the survey shows us.
Yeah.
It's more than just a picture that we take and put in the drawer. It's something that we really look at and really want to act on.
Yeah. I think what you just said there is really important, because that's where I was about to go. And I think a lot of people might have been having this question is how has Gateway been able to develop something different? How has the staff been able to be different? And if I'm a pastor working in another church, how do I develop the kind of healthy organization that Gateway has developed? It certainly has something to do with the organizational structure and how we operate governmentally, but there is more to the health than that. And you just laid out a few of those items there that make us different. So can you settle on that a little bit? Some of your perspectives on what are we doing here at Gateway that gives us that feel that we are healthier than other places?
You know, one of the things that strikes me is that we have a culture that didn't just spring out of nothingness. Everything is rooted in a soil. And the soil at Gateway has some really rich nutrition when it comes to kindness, gentleness, grace, all the things that the gospel really represents. In other organizations, I don't know their lead pastor. I don't know their elders. I know here at Gateway, they from the top down, they're really interested in humility.
Yeah.
Interested in teachability, in loving people, being gentle, kind, that kind of thing.
That's good.
When that doesn't happen, the whole body hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're going to sit down and talk with someone, you're going to help them grow. What are some tools that you have found helpful in that process?
My most successful tools, first of all, are my own ears. I hear what they say. Mm. And sometimes it's what they don't say, what they try to walk around.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, as they're talking, you're listening to the Holy Spirit. He might drop something in my mind that says, go here with them. Mm-hmm. So I'll go there with them or something like that. And then I use some more objective tools. We have an instrument here we use called the EQ, emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to assess how people have learned to deal with issues in their lives emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as long as you tell it the truth, it'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And so there's been some really good work that's been able to happen. I have a person who took it a year ago, and there are some areas of huge pain that came out of that.
Yeah.
And so we talked about some things they can do, some things to grow in, and they just took it again. And you would think that they're a senior staff member by the scores that happened on it.
Wow.
And it's more than just looking at scores, because as I've watched this person, they have been really, really intentional about doing some things, getting some help.
Right.
And so the instrument does in a short amount of time what it would take, a year or two to do in a pretty intense counseling situation.
Mm-hmm. And can just anyone participate in this instrument?
If they're a staff member at Gateway or a high level volunteer and they have $60 they want to spend, we're glad to help them.
Okay. What about outside of Gateway? If someone wanted to participate in something like that, well, outside of Gateway staff.
Yeah.
Yeah. How would they do it?
They would get in contact with myself or my assistant, Jesse Kramer, and set up a time. I'll email them a link.
Yeah.
And they'll take it. And then that part's free. It's when we get the results that the organization wants their money.
Right. Well, it's not always the case, right? So then what about pastors or church leaders that may be listening to us? How would they implement something like EQ at their church?
Yeah. And so one of the things that I'm working on doing is having Gateway become a center for training other people. Okay. So if they want to take it church-wide, they could. They can also, I can come in and do a consult with a staff or a department or just, you know, meet with a person one-on-one, you know. And so there's all kinds of ways.
Okay. So you've got the BCWI that helps inform you about where the staff is. You've got EQ for working with an individual person. Is there any other tool that you find useful? And your ears as well. Any other tool that you found useful in developing people?
Gateway is a big strengths-based organization.
And what does that mean?
We really emphasize the Gallup Strengths Finder.
Ah.
And so you see in a lot of emails their little signature, they'll have their top five, you know, strengths. And so that's a great way to find out how am I best wired and what kind of job would be my ideal dream job. Let's see if we could find that within the Gateway organization for you. Or it might be something that, you know, I've always thought I was a little bit geeky, but now I find out I'm strategic. And so that explains a lot of my geekiness.
Yeah.
Or I have, whatever the case, sometimes it explains a lot about what I've experienced in my life.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that's maybe how God wired me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a powerful thought right there, how strengths helps us focus on where we are strong instead of always focusing on where we are weak. Where can we serve the Lord in our areas where he has developed us already?
Right.
And I love how you're able to work with people in developing that. Within them. So that is not just a Gateway assessment, is it?
No. In fact, we're glad to be on board with it, but it's a Gallup organization tool. They, you know, I think there are up to 33 million people who have taken the
test. Just a couple then,
a
couple
a
of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if anyone wanted to take the survey, how would they do that?
They just go to Gallup online and they have a little place you can sign in and they want their money too, of course.
Of course, yeah. Is it still available in the StrengthsFinder book that is sold?
My understanding is yes.
Okay. So people could go to Amazon or their local bookstore and pick up StrengthsFinder 2.0.
Yes.
And there would be a code in there.
Yes.
That would enable them to go online and put the code, and then they could take the survey.
Yep.
Usually what happens is the survey is a part of the purchase of the book. So you don't have to pay extra if you get the book. And I think the book too is helpful because it gives you deeper information about the strengths. So it's one thing to take the survey. It's another thing to get more information about what those strengths are and how they apply to your life.
Yeah.
How did you find training on that?
We used it in our school district. Before I came here, we were using it for probably 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
And I really saw validity in it. And when I came on staff, it really blew up in a good way in my own mind. And so I went and got my official training in Chicago to be a certified Gallup Strengths coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm able to use it frequently as I talk with people. One of the questions I almost invariably will ask, so what are your top five strengths?
Mm-hmm.
And I often go, aha, that explains this.
Yeah.
I'm meeting with a couple tomorrow in my office. They're about to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And he just happened to be swinging by my office yesterday. And I said, hey, here are some results from this that your wife took.
Yeah.
Does any of this sound familiar? And when I went over the results, he was like, oh my gosh, you have just read her mail. And I said, so what are your strengths? And well, he hadn't taken it yet. So he took it. And so we have an appointment tomorrow to take it, because it's going to really do some revelations to both of them.
Yeah.
It's an interesting situation for them. But it really, if we can understand each other.
Yeah.
We're able to build bridges instead of blow them up.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So then as you're developing people, you're working with them, what has been the biggest challenge that you have faced in that process?
I think people's understanding that they are able to change.
Hmm.
We have different mindsets. Sometimes we have a fixed mindset, which says I am what I am and I can't change that. And yet the gospel pretty well ensures us that you do change. Mm-hmm. God loves us too much to leave us the way we are.
Right.
And so people can really understand that God wants us not only healed, but set free and
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff, and that he's given us the power to change.
Mm.
It's powerful.
That is powerful.
And I guess I'm a living example of that, because I was not raised in a Christian family.
Yeah.
Alcoholic dad. And, you know, you could write a book on all the statistics of people like that, and yet here I am, a pastor at a church.
Yeah.
How does something like that happen? It's the grace of God and the power of God.
Yeah. I didn't even give you the segue signal, and you took us straight into the next question, which is, who are you away from Gateway Church? So you gave us just a brief hint there of some of your history, where you've been, and some of the experiences that have kind of defined who you are as a man. What have you, tell us about some other experiences in your past or in your life that you found, have really defined kind of how you engage with the Lord and with your work here at Gateway.
I recently went through a process called a life plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3-day process. You can make it a 2-day process, but where you go through, you look at what are the turning points in your life? What are the early inputs into your life that made you who you are, and what is, based on that, what do you see for your future? And I was amazed as I sat down and I looked at the various areas of my life, family, personal, vocational, faith, community, and I looked at the various things that happened from childhood, from birth.
Yeah.
And I just color coded it on a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. If it was something negative, I color coded it as red.
Mm-hmm.
If it was positive, I made it green. Well, up till I was 7 years old, it was all a big sheet of red.
Really?
I mean, being in an alcoholic and divorced family and poverty. And I mean, I had a dad arrested in downtown Minneapolis for public exposure, and so friends couldn't come over to my house anymore because yeah. they thought there were weird things happening
right.
there. And so the one little sliver of green that happened is my mom made me take guitar lessons when I was 7 years old. And I fought her.
Yeah.
We argued about practicing, and I didn't like it. But, you know, it eventually happened. And little did she know that back then, at the age of 7, she was giving me the beginnings of a tool to one day become a worship pastor.
Oh, wow.
But that little guitar thing then led me to do solos at like a choir concert when I was in third grade.
Yeah.
And that just opened more doors. And so fast forward, when you look at my life in the 20s, it's almost all green.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
You know, it happened by the grace of God being introduced into my life and the goodness of God. And, you know, one other thing, we talked about strengths. One of the things I find out, my number two strength is learner.
Mm.
And in fifth grade, I was interested in science.
Yeah.
So I did a science fair and I wanted to do a scale model of the solar system. Little did I know how big our solar system was. And so I had to go across the whole school to... So here's this fifth grade kid doing the math to scale down the solar system.
Oh my goodness.
And so that got me first place in the science fair. And so that was, again, an early indication of my geeky learner kicking in.
Yeah.
And that has been a product of my whole life of learning things and taking me to new levels. And that's something God wired in me.
Yeah.
And as I've acted in line with those two aspects of my life, it's changed everything.
Yeah. Did you find that the other kids teased you because of that geekiness?
Not initially, and not so much about my knowledge. I know when I was in high school chemistry, they always called me professor.
Okay. You
know? But again, it was something, you know, and if I were to maybe showboat on it, they would probably ostracize me. But I was always one that wanted to help people, and so I was cool with that.
Yeah. And so you've moved into this phase of your life where you're a pastor here at Gateway, but what about your family? You're married.
Yep.
And you have some children, right? How many kids do you have?
So I have two kids. My son Talon is 22.
Okay.
My daughter Micah is 20. And they both are the first kids in my family tree as far back as we can go that have been raised in a Christian family.
Yeah.
They love the Lord and they want to serve God. My son works at Gateway also in the children's ministry on the weekends as a teacher and a MC, and kids love him. And so my wife and I are going to celebrate our 28th year of marriage coming up next month.
Congratulations.
And we are the only ones in the family, too, as far back as you go, that are still married to the same person after 5 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And so there's a lot of chain breaking. There's a lot of things that have happened in our lives that would not ever have happened had we not known the Lord.
How did you do that? How did you raise a family that was able to stay engaged with the Lord over the years?
It's not anything you teach.
Hmm.
I mean, there are some, but if the teaching doesn't line up with who you are, kids spot a fake a mile away.
Yeah.
And when I was saved at the age of 16 in high school, it was a radical thing for me. At the time, I was just starting to dabble into the alcohol like my dad.
Yeah.
I was coming home at night and getting stuff out of the fridge. Everybody else was asleep. I had a late night job and yet when I got saved, I lost all desire for that, and it just put me on this whole path. And I was kind of Keith Greenish in my enthusiasm for God. And I would buy a whole case of Bibles, put it in my car, and drive around Minneapolis picking up hitchhikers so I could share the gospel with them and give them a Bible.
Oh my goodness!
My dad thought I was absolutely crazy.
Yeah,
I probably was, but. He really did think I was involved in a cult.
Yeah.
And so he made me get counseling.
Yeah.
But it didn't help any.
It didn't help. You're still a Christian.
Yeah. So all that to say, my faith has been so central to my life growing up that when I was excited to get married and to have kids, because I really, really wanted to raise my kids in a godly home.
Yeah.
So they could have what I never had.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've seen that in your family as well, as I've met your family and met your kids. And it's a dynamic group of people that clearly love the Lord and are eager to
Thanks.
Serve Him. I also know that when you leave the office, your ministry day doesn't end. I know that you have a number of activities that take you into some fairly dark places fairly often. Tell me a little bit about that.
So I often visited my dad in prison when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always had a soft spot in my heart for people who are incarcerated. I have a brother in prison right now. So whenever I had the opportunity, before I ever came on staff, I was just brand new to Gateway, was at a men's conference, and they had a little thing on the G3 prison ministry.
Yeah.
And I was excited. I was instantly drawn to it. So I signed up and have been involved in prison ministry ever since that time.
Yeah.
So I'm involved in the men's prison in Cofield, the women's prison in Bridgeport. So there's that aspect. I like to go. Sometimes they want me to speak, sometimes just to lead worship on my guitar.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, coming from the high school world, I would often be criticized for the amount of time I spent with kids in my office because I wasn't so interested in writing them a referral for Saturday school or after school detention. I wanted to find out what is going on. Why is this going on in your life? And so I almost like a counseling session, but kids loved me for that.
Yeah.
And to this day, I have really good relationships with kids, and many of them have found the Lord. I often tease my biggest drug bust I ever had at the high school level is now a very functional and engaged member of our church.
Wow, that's awesome.
And they would never know that
by
looking at him now.
Yeah.
But I know the backside story because I know him. And I see all kinds of people with totally transformed lives.
Yeah. How are you able to balance your work here at Gateway, your family, and what you want to give to those that are incarcerated? How do you balance all of that? Is it, you know, if you're going to go spend time at the prison, you're away from your family, and you've already been at work. How do you do that?
It's all ministry. When my wife and I got married, we were both involved in ministry at that time. And so our whole life, the home we bought with a large living room so that we could use that for Bible study and for groups and stuff like that. And so my wife's heart is very much like mine in wanting to worship, wanting to minister to people and help. And so if I'm going to the prison, my wife's on board with that because she knows it's ministry and she's all about ministry herself.
Yeah.
And my kids see that happening.
Yeah.
And so my son has, when he was in high school, led more people to the Lord in his 3 years in high school than I probably did the first 20 years of my life, just because he saw dad and mom ministering. And so he figured that's what life was about.
Yeah.
And so.
Sure. Sure. Well, I think what you've been able to do there is critical. I know I've struggled with those outside of work, outside of the family activities. Just how much time am I going to give to that? Because it feels like it's a drain on some of those other areas. And I think you've illustrated very well how if it's done right, you can actually weave it into your family. So it's no longer a drain. It's actually a funnel that points right back into your family. Is that basically how you viewed it?
Yeah. There are still lines to be drawn.
Sure.
You know, because there's life that has to happen. And sometimes we have to vacuum the floor. Sometimes we have to do dishes and that kind of thing at home. But for the big ticket items, we're always on board as a family on doing this or doing that.
Yeah. So you are a pastor at Gateway. You clearly love the Lord. I mean, the kinds of ministry activities you're involved in, clear representation of how much you love Christ. When you think about the Lord, what emotion surfaces in you that you find most overwhelming about Him?
I think the amazing thing to me is how He loves to love.
Yeah.
And it's, that may be a really trite statement, but growing up in the family I grew up in, the first time I saw a Christian family sit down and have a meal together, they actually talked to one another. Mm-hmm. They prayed together. I'm like, you guys don't have to put on an act just because I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, I was 16 at the time and they looked at me kind of funny and said, well, Rick, this is our family. This is what we do.
Yeah.
And I immediately knew that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
The rest of my days. I wanted a family like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you're in your quiet time, when you're spending time with the Lord, what does that look like?
I'm not one of these that has a carved out time every day from 5:30 to 6 o'clock AM. I will grab a scripture from my phone or on my computer or from my Bible, wherever I'm at, whenever I have a question about something, whenever I'm inquiring of God about something. There are times I'll take a few days off and I'll go camp.
Okay.
Just me and God.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll take my son cause he likes to go camping too. We haven't done that together in a couple of years, a few years really. But so my time is kind of a dynamic thing every day.
Yeah.
There are many times I'll go and I'll consult something or I'll be walking down the hallway and I'll have this idea of what was it that Jesus said when he raised from the tomb? He said, go tell them quickly. Why did he say, he didn't have to say quickly. Why did he say quickly?
Yeah.
And so that got me like yesterday on this whole tirade of, he doesn't want us to stay where we're at. He does not want us to be in the state of surrender or of defeat. He told them to go tell him quickly. Don't get caught up in this thing where he's dead.
Yeah.
Go tell him now.
Yeah.
So just, you know, things like that, thoughts that come to my head.
And, so you're asking the Lord a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like the Lord asks you questions?
All the time.
Yeah. What has been one of the more powerful questions he's asked you in the last 6 months?
Well, we talked about kind of the last 6 months. Probably, let's see, if I would have known that question ahead of time, I could have probably had a much more immediate
well,
answer.
Well, you were headed down a road, so why don't you... Maybe it wasn't in the last 6 months, but it was particularly powerful for
you. Well, I guess I'm speaking primarily of my family. It dawned on me a while ago that we have never actually gone anywhere specifically on vacation.
Okay.
We've always done stuff, whether it be ministry or just, you know, household maintenance stuff.
Yeah.
20 years.
Yeah.
19 years. I thought, what family does that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we started a tradition a couple of years ago of going down someplace. For us, it was Galveston. I don't know why, but it just was. And so they can see an ocean, so they could do something different. So that's been really a fun thing for us to do. Mm-hmm. So that's a specific thing where God says, would you love your family enough to take them on a vacation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's a great question.
And part of that is will you put aside the money so you don't have to go in debt to do it?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. So one of the questions we're asking each of our guests, how do you know the difference between God's voice and your voice?
Yeah, because my voice can be pretty loud sometimes, but I have to, once I get my own voice out of the way, I sit back and I just hear the thoughts that come across my brain, and I always hold them up against God's word, those thoughts.
How do you get your own voice out of the way?
My voice tends to be pretty loud. It's pretty emotional. It's pretty exciting, and so I let all that stuff just, you know, get expressed in my heart. Okay, yeah. Okay, I hear that. But
yeah.
Okay, now let's stop. Everybody stop.
Yeah.
Everybody's I have more than one person inside of me.
Right. That sounds like another topic for another day.
Yeah, they call me Sybil. But and so then I'll just stop and I'll listen. And just hear what he lays in my heart, what he lays in my mind.
Yeah.
He speaks to me a lot in pictures.
Yeah.
Some people, they hear voices. I have a friend of mine who smells them, but to me, it's pictures.
Yeah. And what do those pictures look like? Are they paintings? Are they drawings? Is it like a dream? How would you characterize that?
All kinds of things.
Yeah.
Just all kinds of things. I was in a meeting a while back, and somebody asked if somebody had a certain word for a certain person in the classroom.
Yeah.
And I just thought and I prayed and I looked at him for a minute, and suddenly I had this picture of a cowboy on a horseback with a lasso going after a bunch of cattle.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, all I have is this picture of a cowboy on a horseback with a lasso cattling, you know, going after cattle and stuff like that. And he's always bringing it back to the fence, back to the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ironically, this person was a high school teacher. And he said he's going through a real tough time trying to maintain classroom management.
Yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting picture that God gave me for this person.
So if I'm a person that is trying to hone my ability to hear the Lord, what thoughts would you have about improving that?
Stay plugged in to God. Stay on the frequency. Don't ever change that frequency. You know, scripture talks about the fact if we set our minds on the spirit, that's life. But if we have our minds set on the flesh or on worldly things, that's death.
Yeah.
And it shuts down the frequency. Yeah. So watch your input into your life. Make sure that you're staying walking in the spirit, walking with God. And it makes that two-way communication much easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming out, for Mentoring Deep today. It's been great to talk with you. Before we go, is there a final thought you would like to leave with our listeners today?
Yeah, I just read yesterday, and it was real exciting to me, about Revelation 1:18, where Jesus said, I hold the keys to death and hell.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times as people, we create our own prisons, we create our own places of bondage and stuff like that, and Jesus has the key to all of it.
Yeah.
Whether we're believers or not, Jesus has the key. And if we will surrender to him and let him operate the key in our life, he can set us free.
That's great. I love that thought. I love that word. Pastor Rick, thank you for coming out. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found this 45-minute session beneficial. I know many of our listeners will as well. So thank you again for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that's it. Episode 007 is in the books. Thank you for being with us again at Mentoring Deep at Gateway Church. If you haven't already done so, be sure to stop by the website, mentoringdeep.com. You can get all of our show notes. They are available for you there. What we try to do again is put all of the questions from our interviews into the show notes. Also, if you haven't had a chance to do so, please stop by iTunes and leave us a message. Let us know, how is the show impacting your life? We've got the men's conference. Gateway Men is coming up soon. There are still registration spots available. So if you would like to join us at Gateway Men coming up here in the next few weeks, please join us at gatewaypeople.com for registration. All right, that's it. Until next time, be sure to find a mentor, be a mentor, and grow deep. God bless you. See you soon. We'll